So last week, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, your word says that may God fill us with wisdom and understanding that we might know you better. And so that's what I pray this morning, that Holy Spirit's wisdom and understanding will fill us so that we might know you better. And thank you that Holy Spirit wrote this word that we're going to read. So please help us to understand. Amen. Okie dokie. Right, last week I ran out of time, so we only got halfway through. So this is the completion of the message. And we stopped the message with the statement. Can you remember what the statement was? It was, imagine Maynard with a six pack. Do you remember that? That's how the message ended last week. And at the end of the service, I scrolled down on comments that people made on the chat. And Mike had written, imagine David with hair. Do you imagine? Can you remember writing that, Mike?
Yeah.
What on earth could I have been speaking about that draw forth such comments as imagine Maynard with a six pack and me with hair? Well, among other things, we've been talking about the rapture and the moment described in Thessalonians when Christians, those still alive when Jesus returns for his church, and those who have already passed on to glory, will be caught up or raptured to meet Jesus in the clouds. And at that point, the book of Corinthians adds that in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as we are all raised up to meet Jesus, we will all be given new heavenly bodies. Is anyone looking forward to a new heavenly body? Yeah, Nick is.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, Jenny and Diane. Yeah, oh, everyone is, really. And yes, Mike, hopefully I will have heavenly hair too, as on my new heavenly body. Wouldn't that be lovely? So we were looking at the rapture because we have been studying the book of Revelation. And Revelation describes what will happen at and around the time of Jesus' return, to which the last chapter of Revelation encourages all believers to expectantly look forward to Jesus' return. And it asks us to join in the Holy Spirit's call of, come, Lord Jesus. So I pointed out from Revelation 3 that Jesus had promised to spare the church from the trial that was about to come upon the whole world, or that was to come upon the whole world. Now, Jesus was most likely referring to the end times or the period of tribulation described in Revelation 6 onwards. And my question was, does this promise to spare the church from the tribulation period include the entire church, which includes us, or just those first century Christians? Now, we don't know for sure, and there are varying opinions of when the church might be raptured. And I did point out that my interpretation of the scripture points to the likelihood that we shall be raptured before this tribulation period begins. But I also pointed out that I could be wrong. And whether the church is spared all of the tribulation or some of it or none of it, the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus today. Whenever he returns, he is coming as a groom to collect his bride. And he is coming for all those in a relationship with him. So the most important question is not how or when, but are we ready? Are we looking forward to our groom coming back to collect us, his bride, in a relationship with him? Now, anyone's interpretation of what and how might be slightly or completely wrong as to the what Revelation actually says, because scripture does not give us absolutes of the details of Jesus coming back. But one absolute that scripture does give us time and time again from the lips of the prophets and of Jesus himself is that he is coming back. And that is the wonderful, that is the main point. He is coming back. And when he comes, he will come as the groom, but he's also coming as the judge. So are we ready? Are we ready for our groom? Now, last week, we started by reading Matthew 24. Jesus' disciples had asked him what the end times would be like and what would be the signs. Now, I just want us to read one verse from Matthew 24 again. So if you want to turn there, Matthew 24 and verse 15. Okay, it says, so when you see standing in the holy place, this is Jesus speaking, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. So you and I are the readers, aren't we? We're reading Matthew and we're hearing Jesus, so we should understand. So we turned to Daniel last time to help us understand what Jesus was saying. And we shall do again this morning. But to help us to interpret Daniel, let's quickly take another look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're just going to take a whistle-stop tour back through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 so that we can understand what we're about to read in Daniel, like Jesus asked us to. Let the reader understand. So we want to understand. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by a word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Now, the Apostle Paul, John, in his epistles, calls this man of lawlessness the Antichrist. And in Revelation, he's also referred to as the beast. And earlier, we heard Jesus referring to him as the one who would cause the abomination that causes desolation. So the Antichrist, or the man of lawlessness, is the man that the devil will empower to work through during the tribulation period, which will then end in the second coming of Jesus. Jesus will not come again until the man of lawlessness is revealed. Okay, verse 4. He, that's the man of lawlessness, will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he seats himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, the point when the man of lawlessness sets himself up as God is the moment of the abomination that causes desolation. We'll hear about that a little bit more, which Jesus spoke of. Verse 5. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, the man of lawlessness, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. So last week we considered whether it was the Holy Spirit or the church or Archangel Michael that was holding back the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, until the proper time. Verse 7. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, don't we know? But the one who holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Whoever this man of lawlessness turns out to be, the good news is that he's no match for our Jesus. He's no match for the groom and the judge. The lawless one will be allowed to come forth, but only to be finally overthrown and destroyed by our Lord. And I suggested that last week that if the church does get raptured before the tribulation, the remaining world will be in a right state and eagerly looking for stability and leadership. But whether that's the case or not, from how the world is currently in 2020, it's not too much of a stretch of the imagination to picture a cashless society or a one world currency and nations coming together to form one world government of sorts under a leadership of a hero. Sort of a hero figure who is just what the world thinks they need to get us back on track, to sort things out, to work out how to overcome these problems. And that's where the Antichrist steps in, a charismatic leader empowered by Satan. Now, we perhaps see from scripture that it won't be until halfway through the tribulation that his true colors will be revealed. But let's go to Daniel and see where Jesus was quoting from when he said, let the reader understand. Okay, he's talking about the desolation, the abomination that causes desolation. Let the reader understand. So we'll turn to Daniel, because Jesus said, I'm quoting from Daniel here. So we shall turn to Daniel and try and understand. So Daniel chapter 12. Again, it's a hard book to find, but hopefully from last week, we're getting to work out where it is in our Bibles. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael, we know that to be Archangel Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. Now, because Jesus is talking about the end times to his disciples and quoted this passage, we know that this here in Daniel is referring to the end times. But at that time, the end times, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Isn't that good news? We know from scripture that everyone who belongs to Jesus is written in the Lamb's book of life. And here is a promise that these times, when great distress, as none has seen before, comes on the world, everyone in the book of life will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like brightness in the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal these words of the scroll until the time of the end. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite side, probably two angels. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, that's Gabriel, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time. Now, last week we worked out that times, times a half and whatever it was, is 3.5 years. And so he was saying it will be for 3.5 years when the power of the holy people. Now, that's not God's holy people. This is the lawless one, his prophet and his everyone who worships him and calls him God. That's the holy people he's referring to. This will be 3.5 years when the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand, says Daniel in verse 8. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be? He replied in verse 9, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Verse 10, many will be purified, made spotless and refined. Now that sign sounds like the church of Jesus, doesn't it? Through his blood. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Are we wise? Do we have the counsel of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Verse 11. From the time that daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation, remember Jesus quoted from this, is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Now, we worked out that 1,290 days is 3.5 years, just like the angel has already said. So from the time of the abomination that causes desolation, there will be 1,290 days or 3.5 years until the end. In a minute, we shall see from somewhere else in Daniel that the entire tribulation period is 7 years. So here, Angel Gabriel is explaining that halfway through the tribulation period at the 3.5 year point, there's going to be a happening referred to as the abomination that causes desolation. This is where the man of lawlessness will really show his true beast-like nature and take over the temple, set himself up as God, and insist that all the inhabitants of the world worship him from now on or be killed. And at some point in Revelation 13, it also tells us that the man of lawlessness will set up a worldwide economy system, probably cashless, where no one will be able to buy or sell without bearing the mark on their hand or their forehead. So they'll have complete control of people by that. Whether the church will be around at this point or not, it is comforting to know that from the moment of abomination that causes desolation, Jesus has set a time limit of 3.5 years. And then, as it says in 2 Thessalonians, the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So whenever this thing happens, we know there's only 3.5 years left, and then Jesus is coming to overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Isn't that amazing? So let's read on one more bit from Daniel to gain some more understanding and read something amazing about Jesus. Daniel chapter 9. So go back a couple of chapters to Daniel chapter 9. Verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, that's Jerusalem, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Can you remember someone else that Gabriel appeared to later on and said that she was highly esteemed? You remember? Mary. Yeah. So this is the same angel, isn't it? So, therefore, he said, I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 24. Okay, verse 24. 77s, the angel says. Now, what are 77s? Well, in Daniel's time, a 7 would have been known as a period of 7 years. Rather like we would know that a dozen means 12, or a baker's dozen means 13, Daniel, being an Israelite, would know that a 7 means a block of 7 years. Okay? So, Angel Gabriel says, 77s. So anyone here good at maths, tell me how many years are 77s? Oh, look at that. Graham's a very quick 490 on the chat there. Yes, 490 years. 70 blocks of 7 years are 490 years. Okay, so let's read verse 24 again. 77s or 490 years are decreed for your people and your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint in the most holy place. Who do we know that put an end to sin, atoned for wickedness, and brought everlasting righteousness? Jesus. Okay. So, could Angel Gabriel be telling Daniel that after 490 years, 77s, that the Messiah, Christ, would come? We shall find out for sure in a minute. And if you've never understood this passage before, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Okay, Angel Gabriel, we think you could be saying that Jesus is coming back and bringing forgiveness of sins and everlasting righteousness. But when does the timer start on the 490 years until Jesus does all these things? Well, I'm glad you are, says Angel Gabriel. Let's read verse 25. No one understand this. From the time of the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one. Now that word anointed one is the Hebrew for Mashiach, which is where we get our word Messiah from. So, from the time the word goes out to restore and build Jerusalem until the time the anointed one or the Messiah, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. And it will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. So the angel has just told him this is going to happen after the word goes out to rebuild Jerusalem. There's going to be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Right. Why cryptic saying it this way? I'm not too sure. But can anyone tell me What do you get if you add seven sevens with 62 sevens? How many sevens is that to start with? Jenny? You put your hand up. No? No, 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 no. Okay, do you want me to tell you? That is 69 sevens. All right? Or do you know how many years that is? 434 years. Okay? So the angel has told Daniel there's going to be 77s, 490 years. But he's now telling Daniel, when the word to rebuild the temple goes out, you can count 69 of these sevens, or 483 years. And then the Messiah will come and do all the things that I've told you to do, that I told he's going to do. Put an end to sin, atone for things. Okay. Right. So, when did the word go out to rebuild Jerusalem? Anyone know? When did the word go out to rebuild Jerusalem? Well, can you remember the story of Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah? Yeah? Well, to save time, we won't turn there, but the man of God, Nehemiah, is working as a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, who's the king of Persia. Now, this is about 100 years after the prophecy of Daniel. So after Daniel, 100 years later, Nehemiah is working for King of Persia. Now, Nehemiah hears how Jerusalem, the capital city of his homeland, is in ruins. And he has it in his heart to go and rebuild it. And by a stroke of God's grace, King Artaxerxes sympathizes with Nehemiah's desire and issues the word to send Nehemiah with his full support to return to Jerusalem to oversee the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Okay? Now, when was this decree issued for the rebuilding of Jerusalem? Well, actually, it tells us in Nehemiah 2:1. You don't have to turn there, but in Nehemiah 2, chapter 1, it says, in the month of Nisan. Now, I don't know about you, but my favorite month is Volkswagen. Volkswagen Beetle, to be precise. But this was the month of Nisan. It says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign. Okay. So according to scholars, the month of Nisan and the year, the 20th year of Artaxerxes' reign would have been March or April 444 BC. So that's when the word went out for the rebuilding of Jerusalem in 444 BC. Now, what did the angel tell Daniel? He said, when the word goes out for the rebuilding of Jerusalem, there will be 69 sevens or 483 years. And then the Messiah, the anointed one, will make atonement for sin, bring in everlasting righteousness. Okay. Would you like to hazard a guess as to where 483 years in the Jewish calendar? Now, another bit of confusion here is we have 365 days in our year, don't we? But the Jewish calendar has 360 days because they follow the lunar calendar. We follow the solar calendar. They follow the lunar calendar. Okay. So factoring in 360 days a year, would you like to hazard a guess as to where 483 years from 444 BC takes us to? According to scholars, it takes you to 33 AD, March or April 33 AD, to be more precise, which just so happens to be when? The crucifixion of Jesus. When Jesus was crucified, he put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, as Daniel has said in verse 24. Isn't that amazing? Can we trust Bible prophecy? Absolutely. What God has said, it will happen. And it has and will happen exactly as he said it would. Our interpretation might not always be spot on, but God's word is always spot on. Amen. So can we trust what else might be prophesied in Daniel to be accurate as well? I reckon so. If it's good enough for Jesus, it better be good enough for us. So let's read on and see if there's any more to understand. Okay? Verse 26. After the 62 sevens, or in full, it's the seven sevens plus 62 sevens, which is 483 years, the anointed one, which we know as Jesus Messiah, will be put to death and will have nothing. Did that happen? Absolutely. After 483 years of the word going out in 444 BC, in 33 AD, he was put to death and had nothing. Having nothing sounds like Isaiah 53:8. For he was cut off from the dead, from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. So, verse 26, we'll read again. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. Did that happen? Yes. Let's read on. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the angel has just told Daniel when the Messiah is going to come and what he's going to do. And now the angel is telling Daniel that the city and the temple are going to be destroyed. And was the city and the temple destroyed after Jesus died and was resurrected? Yeah. Do you know when? 70 AD. The temple was completely destroyed, just like Jesus said it was, because in Matthew 24, he said, there's going to come a time when not even one stone of this temple is going to be left on top of each other. And it happened, didn't it? But here's the interesting thing, because it says, the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, who is the ruler who will come? This is the lawless one, the beast, the Antichrist, okay? So the lawless one will come from the people who will destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, the temple did get destroyed in AD 70. Who was it that destroyed the temple? Yeah, it was the Romans. Okay, the Romans destroyed the temple. And in Daniel's prophecy here, he's just said that the man of lawlessness will come from the people who will destroy the temple. So the Romans are the people of which the lawless one will come from. Okay, do you understand that? The lawless one will come from the people who will destroy the temple. And it was the Romans who destroyed the temple. So the lawless one's going to come from the Romans. However, the problem is that we know the Roman Empire collapsed in 400 AD, around about 400 AD. Okay, so there's a problem. How's the lawless one going to come from a people who don't exist anymore? Well, who could we say are currently in the place of the Roman Empire today, living in the territory of the Roman Empire, and maybe even having a slight likeness to the Roman Empire? Any guesses? The European Union, Europe. Do you think? Well, do you know what the treaty that brought about the European Union in 1958 was called? The Treaty of Rome. Did you know that? Now, the United Kingdom didn't join the European Union until 1973. I think it was 73. But actually, the European Union began in 1958, and it was called the Treaty of Rome. So if Daniel's prophecy is correct, and his prophecy about the ruler who will come from the Romans, it's quite likely that the man of lawlessness will come from within the European Union. If that's the case, then I wonder if the UK coming out of the EU has helped or hindered the devil's grand plans. Interesting, isn't it? I don't think it's any coincidence that many Christians felt the joy of the Holy Spirit the day that it was announced that the UK was coming out of the European Union. So let's continue reading. Verse 26, halfway through verse 26. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. And it did for the Israelites. After the destruction of the temple in AD 70, that began what historians call the great diaspora. Diaspora, that's the one, I think, diaspora of the Jewish people. They were driven out of their land and lost their status as a nation. Israel no longer was a nation. They were just, Jewish people were just people spread out all over the world. They didn't have their own nation anymore. Israel became Palestine. Suddenly that nation disappeared and got taken over. And the piece of land called Israel was taken over and called Palestine. That was until about 2,000 years later, in 1948, when after World War II and the mass Holocaust and the murder of 6 million Jews by Hitler, the United Nations agreed that their homeland should no longer be counted as part of Palestine, but given back to the Jewish people and recognized as Israel once more. Funnily enough, that was prophesied by God thousands of years before too. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 66:8, it says this: "Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children." So in 1948, the nation of Israel was born in a day. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of all the craziness of all that goes on in the world, God always has the final say. His is the last word. If he said it's going to happen, it is going to happen. Okay. So where are we going? We're continuing in verse 26. We're still in Daniel. Okay. War will continue to the end and desolations have been decreed. He, the man of lawlessness, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. Okay. Do you remember we had 69 sevens of the 70 sevens used up? 69 sevens was when the city, the word that Jerusalem was going to be rebuilt. And then after 69 sevens, the Messiah was going to put an end to sin and bring in eternal righteousness. But we've got 1 7 left because we had 70 sevens, didn't we? So here is the final seven that gets mentioned. All right. The angel used up his 69 of those 77s when he prophesied about the Messiah coming. This means there's 1 7 still remaining that has not been used up yet. Okay. So Daniel's prophecy is now about to tell us about what that final seven looks like. Verse 27. He, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. This is when the stopwatch for the last 7 years until the end of the world as we know it will begin again. Okay, this is when the stopwatch begins again, from counting down from 7 years to zero. So at the beginning of the last 7 year period, the Antichrist will actually be a world leader who will manage to gather most of the world together into a covenant, it says here in Daniel, which will most likely initially seem good and cohesive to a world reeling in turmoil and seeking a hero. I think COVID is just one of the forborn birth pains Jesus spoke of that will bring the world to the point of seeking to work together in the likeness of the Tower of Babel. You know, together we can do this. We can sort this out. In the middle of the seven, Daniel says, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. This is the midpoint that we read earlier in Daniel in chapter 12, the 3.5 year point. We know it's only now 3.5 years until Jesus returns to destroy the lawless one and the devil who has been behind all evil in the world since Genesis. So let's repeat again. In the middle of the seven, this 7 year period, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offerings, this is the lawless one. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation that Jesus spoke of until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. And if you want to look at how the end is poured out on him, you can turn to Revelation 19, not now, but later on. And that describes his end. Now, this is very interesting because how could this particular part of the prophecy happen unless there's a temple with offerings going on? How can the man of lawlessness go into the temple, stop the offerings and set up his own kind of idol and start to call people to worship him? Unless there's a temple, unless there's offerings. And we know that the temple has been destroyed in AD 70. and the nation of Israel vanished. So can you now see the importance of Israel being born in a day in 1948? Yeah, it had to be in order for these last times to happen. But as of yet, there is still no temple for sacrifices to be going on, for the man of lawlessness to enter and cause this abomination that causes desolation. In fact, currently, there's a golden domed mosque built right where the temple should be in Jerusalem at the moment. But can you see that the world stage is being set? We see many, but not all the pieces in place yet. Okay, the time is not ready just yet. It would take a government or a world leader of some charisma and clout to remove the mosque from the most hotly contended piece of land in all history so that they can build a temple. It has been suggested that the man of lawlessness will seem so inspiring that even Israel will trust him, especially as he will probably help them build a new temple and commence the daily Old Testament sacrifices again, perhaps at the beginning of the 7-year covenant that he makes with many. Little do they know that midway through the 7-year covenant that he makes, he is going to enter the new temple, set up his own statue and command the whole world to worship him as God, thus causing the abomination that causes desolation, starting the countdown 3.5 years until Jesus puts an end to all this. Okay, let's repeat from verse whatever it is. I've lost my place. Well, in the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. The Antichrist will come, but only when God allows it. And even then, his time is limited. And Jesus will have the last word. Jesus was fond of saying this to his disciples. I tell you these things ahead of time, so that when they happen, you will believe. Didn't he say that? He said that quite often. That is why Matthew says to us, when we read in Matthew, let the reader understand. By understanding and seeing these things happen, just as Jesus said they would, we too are encouraged and are believing. I hope that just as a country that is about to go to war with another country evacuates its citizens and ambassadors from that foreign land, before the scrolls of Revelation 5 are opened and God's wrath begins to break out, I hope that we, the ambassadors of Christ and heaven's citizens, will be recalled home. But if I'm wrong, one thing is for sure. Jesus has promised to come back and take us to be with him in his Father's house. Very quickly, I felt the Lord say this to me in my journal this morning. The most important thing everyone needs to understand about my word is that it's about relationship. It is about and for relationship from Genesis to Revelation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and people in fellowship. I with them and they with me. Genesis chapter 1 was about creating relationship. And Revelation chapter 22 is the forever perfecting that relationship. And every chapter from Genesis to Revelation in between is God working on this relationship. The reason it has taken so long is the stubbornness of mankind and the patience of God and his eagerness to save as many as he can. So whatever we read in Revelation, it's about a relationship that he wants with you. Whatever you read in Genesis, in Exodus, in John, in Matthew, whatever it is, it's about God desiring and working on a relationship with mankind. In Genesis 1, he created this relationship. And in Revelation chapter 22, he perfects this relationship forever. And everything in between is him. Even the wrath and the awful tribulation period is God working on people having a relationship with him. But for now, as we observe the birth planes and see foretold signs of the world stage being set for this 7-year period that will come upon the whole world, let us do what Hebrews 10:25 exhorts us to do. It says, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. So let us focus on that. He's coming back, and it will happen just as he said it will happen. But let us focus on gathering together, encouraging one another even more as we see that day approaching. We should be encouraged by what we study in Revelation. It's not fearful, but encouraged as we see that day approaching. So God bless you guys.